imagine just for a second that you are building a new application.
Okay.
And, you know, you need access to the world's most advanced AI models. We're talking the heavy hitters here, like OpenAI, Google, Anthropic.
Right, the expensive ones.
Exactly. You look at the official pricing and the inference costs are just incredibly steep. But then while you're browsing some developer forum, you stumble across a third-party provider offering access to the exact same cutting-edge AI.
Let me guess, for a massive discount.
Yeah, for a 90% discount. I mean, it sounds like a total tech utopia, right? A sort of democratization of technology where the independent developer finally gets a break.
It really does sound perfect on paper.
But the stack of sources we are diving into today reveals that this supposed utopia is, well, it's actually the front door to a massive illegal shadow economy.
Yeah, and the sheer scale of this shadow economy is staggering.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just looking at a few rogue developers sharing API keys to save a couple of bucks. The source material outlines a highly organized, heavily structured global black market. It's operating primarily out of China, and it is literally siphoning off the intellectual property of the world's leading AI labs.
So our mission in this deep dive is to uncover the mechanics of what is known as the dark token economy.
Exactly.
We are going to explore how this black market actually functions, why it operates as this massive data theft and espionage ring in disguise, and why even the most well-intentioned, budget-conscious developers might, you know, unwittingly be contributing to a literal national security threat.
Which is wild to think about.
Totally. So, okay, let's unpack this. How on earth is anyone selling access to the world's most expensive cutting-edge AI at a 90% discount?
Well, to understand the mechanics of it, we have to look at the catalyst that blew this entire operation wide open in our sources.
Okay, lay it on me.
So on February 23, 2026, Anthropic, you know, the company behind the Claude AI models, they dropped an absolute bombshell.
Right, the February report.
Yeah. They released forensic technical evidence formally accusing three major Chinese AI firms of running industrial-scale technology theft campaigns. They specifically named DeepSeek, Moonshot AI, and Minimax.
Those are massive players.
Huge. And Anthropic's data showed that these companies had conducted over 16 million illicit exchanges to roughly 24,000 fraudulent accounts.
Okay, wait. 16 million exchanges across 24,000 accounts?
Hmm.
That kind of volume means you can't just be sitting at a laptop creating fake Gmail addresses one by one. I mean, you'd need serious infrastructure to bypass the sign-up protections these AI companies have in place.
Oh, absolutely.
Our sources mention these things called account farms, which just sounds like a logistical nightmare to maintain. How are they automating all this?
It's actually a highly compartmentalized supply chain. It's fascinating. At the very top, you have identity brokers.
Identity brokers.
Yeah. These are operations that specialize entirely in fabricating human credentials at scale. They utilize massive racks of physical phones, they call them SIM farms, to just constantly intercept SMS verification codes.
Wow.
And they also compromise educational institution databases to generate thousands of .edu email addresses.
Ah, so they can exploit the student discounts.
Exactly. And in a lot of cases, they just rely on stolen credit card databases to bypass payment verification checks entirely.
So they just hoard all these fraudulently acquired accounts.
Right. They hoard them, and then they extract the API tokens.
Yep.
Those tokens are basically the digital keys that actually let your code talk to the AI model.
I'm picturing like a digital chop shop. They bypass the security, strip the valuable parts, which are the API keys, and now they need to fence them to the public.
That's a really good way to look at it.
I assume that's where the third-party providers come in.
Yeah, that is where proxy servers enter the picture. So a proxy acts as the middleman between you, the end user, and the official AI provider. The black market operators heavily utilize open-source load balancing software for this. You'll see tools named OneAPI, or its fork, NewAPI, referenced constantly in the source material.
Are those illegal tools?
No, not at all.
Hmm.
These are legitimate networking tools designed to help IT departments manage heavy web traffic. But they've been totally co-opted.
Right, repurposed for the grift.
Exactly.
Yeah.
The operators configure these proxies to take thousands of incoming requests from their paying customers and then seamlessly route them through their massive vault of stolen API keys.
Okay, so if I'm that budget-conscious developer we talked about earlier, I might find one of these proxy services. I pay my heavily discounted rate, I send my prompt, and the proxy uses a stolen key to get the AI to write my code perfectly.
Right.
I get that it's shady on the back end, but I mean, if the AI actually works, why should I, as the end user, care? My product is functioning.
And that is the exact trap so many developers fall into. They assume it's a victimless crime that just benefits their bottom line.
Because it feels like Robin Hood or something.
Exactly. But you have to look at how these proxy operators actually generate their revenue. Because there are three distinct monetization models here, and two of them directly compromise your product and your data.
Okay, what's the first one?
The first model is just straightforward price arbitrage. They steal the quota, meaning their overhead for AI access is essentially zero, and they sell it to you at a 90% discount.
That is just pure profit for them.
Pure profit. And in that scenario, you basically get what you paid for.
Classic black market economics. Buy for zero, sell for something. But I'm guessing it doesn't stop at simple arbitrage.
You know, it goes much further, and this is where the illusion of a good deal completely shatters.
Let's hear it.
The second revenue model is called model swapping. So the proxy operator charges you for access to a top-tier expensive model, say Claude Opus or GPT-4.
Okay, the premium stuff.
Right. But when you send your complex prompt into their system, they secretly intercept the API call payload. Instead of sending it to the expensive model you requested, they redirect it to a much cheaper, less capable model.
Wow, so bait and switch.
Exactly. Often this is an open-weight model, like Quinn.
And just to clarify for everyone listening, an open-weight model means the underlying code and neural network weights are freely available to download, right?
Yep, completely free.
So the proxy operator can just run it on their own cheap hardware for pennies.
Precisely. What's fascinating here is they run a cheap model locally, feed it your prompt, take the mediocre answer, and pass it back to you, disguised as an answer from GPT-4.
And they just pocket the massive difference in cost?
They do. And this isn't a rare occurrence either. The Sisipa Helmholtz Center in Germany ran an extensive test on 17 of these shadow APIs.
What did they find?
They discovered that this deceptive model swapping happens in roughly 50% of all requests. Half the time, you are simply not getting the artificial intelligence you paid for.
Wait, half the time? If they're swapping a genius-level AI for a vastly inferior one half the time, the outputs have to be garbage. Does it actually make a noticeable difference in production?
Oh, the real-world impact is catastrophic.
Yeah.
Look at the specific testing Sisipa did. They ran these shadow APIs through a rigorous medical benchmark called MedQA.
Which tests an AI's ability to answer complex medical queries, right?
Exactly. When they used the official API for Gemini 2.5 Flash, the accuracy was 83.82%.
Pretty solid.
But when they ran the exact same test through the shadow APIs, the accuracy plummeted to around 37%.
Dropping from an 84% to a 37% on a medical benchmark, that is horrifying.
It really is.
Because if I'm building a medical triage app or, you know, a legal analysis tool, a 404 error message is actually much better than a silent swap.
Right, because at least you know it's broken.
Exactly. If my app crashes, I know something is wrong and I can fix it. If it swaps to a cheap model, my app stays online but starts generating dangerously incorrect medical advice, and I have absolutely no idea why.
And that is the defining danger of silent model degradation. You get no error signal. And worse, you're exposing yourself to the third and, frankly, most lucrative revenue model.
Which is?
Log harvesting. When you route your traffic through one of these shadow proxies, every single prompt you send and every response you receive is captured and saved on the operator's server.
Which is probably located in a foreign jurisdiction.
Almost always.
So they're essentially running a man-in-the-middle attack on my own company data. I imagine they could mine those logs for financial details or proprietary company kind.
They definitely do that.
But the sources highlight another use for these logs that goes way beyond petty theft, something called model distillation.
Yes, and this is where the dark token economy shifts from consumer fraud into the realm of full-blown industrial espionage.
So let's break down model distillation, because it seems central to this whole operation.
It is the core of the issue.
I've always thought of distillation like a master chef and an apprentice.
Okay, like that.
So the massive, incredibly expensive AI model is the master chef. The smaller, cheaper model is the apprentice. The master chef explains all their secret techniques, their step-by-step logic, and the apprentice memorizes it so they can replicate the dish without needing the master's years of experience.
That analogy holds up perfectly, and it's really vital to note that distillation is a completely standard legal technique in machine learning when done internally.
Right, like OpenAI doing it themselves.
Exactly. OpenAI uses their massive GPT-4 model to generate training data for their smaller, more efficient GPT-4 mini. Anthropic distills Claude 3 Opus to improve Claude 3 Haiku.
So the apprentice learns from the master, saving computational power.
Right, the technique itself isn't the issue. The problem is the data source.
Because these proxy operators aren't using their own master chef, they're basically breaking into a five-star restaurant, stealing the chef's proprietary recipes, and using them to train a rival kitchen.
Exactly. The technical term for what they're harvesting is reasoning traces.
Reason crisis.
Yeah. When thousands of unsuspecting developers use these shadow proxies, they are asking top-tier models to solve complex logic puzzles, write intricate code, or analyze data.
Stuff that takes real cognitive effort from the AI.
Right. And the proxy operators harvest these incredibly complex chains of thought. They then package these stolen reasoning traces and sell them to rival AI companies, or use them to train their own competitor models.
So it is weaponized distillation.
Absolutely. The apprentice is being trained entirely on the stolen cognitive labor of the master.
Which brings us right back to the February 2026 bombshell, where Anthropic explicitly called out those three Chinese giants, DeepSeek, Moonshot AI, and Minimax.
Right.
Reading through the sources, what stands out to me isn't just the sheer volume of data they stole, but the specific escalating tactics they used. It feels like an evolutionary arms race.
It really is.
Let's look at DeepSeek first. The sources say they conducted over 150,000 exchanges. But they weren't just asking standard questions, right? They were highly targeted in what they wanted to extract.
Yeah, DeepSeek's campaign was laser-focused on extracting the raw reasoning capabilities of the Claude model. They specifically targeted a technique called chain of thought.
What does that look like in practice?
Well, instead of just asking Claude for the final answer to a problem, they utilized complex prompt engineering to force Claude to write out, step by step, its internal logical process.
Oh, wow. So they were demanding that the AI reveal the scratch paper showing exactly how it thinks.
Exactly. And the sources show they use those specific reasoning traces for a highly controversial purpose.
The censorship stuff?
Yes. DeepSeek used Claude to generate censorship-safe alternatives for politically sensitive queries.
That is wild. They were essentially taking an American AI model, extracting its reasoning on how to navigate nuanced topics, and feeding that into their own models to perfect domestic censorship tools for authoritarian governments.
The geopolitical implications of that alone are profound. But if we look at the second company, Moonshot AI, the challenge shifts entirely.
Right, because DeepSeek ran 150,000 exchanges, but Moonshot ran over 3.4 million.
At that scale, Anthropic's rate limiters and security systems should have flagged a massive spike in traffic from a single entity instantly.
Yeah, you'd think alarms would be blaring. So the technical question is, how did Moonshot stay hidden while extracting millions of reasoning traces?
The sources detail some incredibly sophisticated evasion tactics. Moonshot didn't just blast millions of requests from one server. They distributed the calls across a massive pool of rotating IP addresses.
Okay, so spreading it out.
Right. And they deliberately varied the types of accounts they used, mixing educational, free tier, and paid accounts, so their traffic blended in with normal, organic user behavior.
That's sneaky.
It gets crazier. They even manipulated the timing of their API calls to mimic human typing cadence rather than robotic, rapid-fire server requests.
You're kidding?
No, they were mapping out Claude's agent development capabilities while flying completely under the security radar. It's basically a masterclass in blending into the noise.
But then we get to the third company, Minimax, which reveals the most alarming aspect of this entire shadow economy. Their terrifying agility.
For Minimax was on another level.
They were responsible for 13 million exchanges, the largest by volume. But the critical detail is that Anthropic caught them mid-campaign, which provided this rare real-time window into how these operations adapt.
Yeah, that was a huge break.
During the extraction campaign, Anthropic pushed a silent update, releasing a new, more capable version of their model. And Minimax didn't miss a beat.
Not at all.
The sources show that within 24 hours, Minimax detected the new model and successfully redirected nearly half of their massive 13 million request traffic volume to target the new system.
It's incredible speed.
How is it even technically possible to detect a silent backend update and reroute millions of API calls in a single day?
They utilize automated canary queries.
Canary queries, like a canary in a coal mine.
Exactly. Minimax's infrastructure constantly pings the AI provider's servers with specific, highly calibrated prompts designed to reveal the model's version string or its unique system prompt.
Okay, so they're always probing.
Right. And the moment their automated systems detect a change in the model's signature, it triggers an alert. Then they leverage what Anthropic refers to as Hydra infrastructure to pivot their attack.
Hydra, as in the mythical monster, where you cut off one head and two more grow back. I imagine that means their network isn't reliant on a central server.
Exactly. These proxy networks are decentralized and fully automated. They utilize sprawling, multi-headed networks, distributing traffic across thousands of cloud instances.
So if you block one...
Right. If a provider like Anthropic detects a node and bans a block of IP addresses, the Hydra network automatically spawns new nodes using a fresh batch of credentials from the account form.
Wow. Without anyone even pressing a button.
Yep. They can instantly, dynamically reroute millions of requests without human intervention. In one instance, Anthropic observed a single proxy network managing more than 20,000 fraudulent accounts simultaneously.
That is just... insane. So we are looking at foreign entities extracting the core reasoning capabilities of top-tier AI models at an industrial scale using automated Hydra networks to constantly evade detection.
That's the reality of it.
When you lay it out like that, it's clear this goes far beyond corporate intellectual property theft. We are talking about the foundational intelligence of these systems being siphoned off.
And that realization is exactly what pushed this issue directly onto the global stage. In April 2026, the White House issued a formal memorandum officially recognizing this unauthorized industrial-scale distillation as a critical national security threat.
Now, calling it a national security threat is a massive escalation. Is that just the government trying to protect the profit margins of U.S. tech giants, or is there a functional danger here?
Oh, the functional danger is severe, and it centers entirely on safety guardrails.
Okay, explain that.
When frontier models like Claude or GPT-4 are developed, the labs spend months and millions of dollars on processes like reinforcement learning from human feedback.
Right, to make them safe.
Exactly. They rigorously train the models to refuse dangerous requests, like generating instructions for building biological weapons or writing zero-day exploits for cyber attacks.
Right, so the AI has the raw intelligence to know the answer, but it's been conditioned with a conscience to refuse to tell you.
But when a foreign entity illicitly distills those models, they're only extracting the raw reasoning traces.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, the distillation process strips out all of those vital safety guardrails.
That's terrifying.
The White House memorandum explicitly warns that these unprotected, highly capable distilled models can then be freely embedded into military, intelligence, and autonomous surveillance systems by foreign adversaries, completely unconstrained by Western safety standards.
Now, reading through the sources, there is a fascinating rift in the broader tech community over this. The debate is fierce, and we are simply going to impartially map out the perspectives here because they highlight how messy AI regulation actually is.
It is very messy.
The U.S. company perspective, which we've mostly been discussing, is clear. This is industrial-scale theft that strips away crucial safety guards and funds criminal networks.
Right. But on the other side, you have the open source advocate perspective.
And what's their take?
Their foundational belief is that AI knowledge is too powerful to be controlled by a few corporate monopolies. They argue that locking these frontier models behind exorbitant API paywalls inherently stifles global innovation.
They want it democratized.
Exactly. Mm. And they also point out that attempting to restrict access is technically impossible against determined nation states anyway. To them, democratization of the technology is paramount.
And then you have what we can call the copyright critic perspective, which points out a pretty glaring hypocrisy in all this.
Yeah, this one is interesting.
They argue that these massive AI companies built their empires by scraping the entire internet, right? Consuming copyrighted data from authors, artists, and programmers without permission or compensation, claiming fair use.
Yep.
So the critics argue it's incredibly rich for those same AI companies to suddenly demand strict enforcement when someone else uses their outputs to train something new. It's like a classic case of pulling up the ladder once you've reached the top.
And, you know, the philosophical debate around fair use and model training will likely take decades to resolve in the courts.
Oh, for sure.
However, the sources synthesize this debate by pointing out a crucial reality.
Which is?
This raises an important question. Regardless of your stance on the ethics of model distillation, The method sustaining the dark token economy bypassed the philosophical debate entirely.
Because of the fraud.
Exactly. We are talking about systemic credit card fraud, identity theft at scale, the exploitation of educational systems, and the circumvention of strict terms of service.
It's a great distinction. It's one thing to debate who legally owns a recipe in a cookbook. It's another thing entirely to smash the restaurant window, steal the chef's wallet to buy ingredients, and hold the kitchen hostage.
Yeah, the underlying actions are explicitly illegal.
Which brings us to the most pressing issue for anyone interacting with AI today, the collateral damage.
Yes.
Because I want to bring this directly to the listener. If you are sitting there listening to this and you aren't running an AI lab and you aren't an international spy, how does this actually affect you? What is the risk to a normal business or an independent developer?
Well, the most dangerous aspect of the dark token economy is that participation is almost always unwitting.
People don't even know they're involved.
Exactly. The sources outline four very specific scenarios where normal, legitimate organizations become compromised.
Let's go through them.
Scenario one involves offshore development teams. Let's say you hire a dev team in a region where top-tier models are geo-blocked due to sanctions or policy.
Yeah.
To hit their deadlines, the developers silently start routing their API requests through a shadow proxy. Suddenly, all of your company's proprietary code and database structures are sitting in a plain text log file on a server in a foreign country.
Wow. A massive data breach caused simply because a developer was trying to work efficiently and bypass a geographic block. What's scenario two?
Scenario two targets startups. A budget-constrained founder decides to use an API broker they found online to save money, not asking the critical question of how the broker can offer a 90% discount.
Just focusing on the burn rate.
Right. By plugging that broker's API key into their app, the startup is actively feeding their own customers' private data directly into a log harvesting operation.
Ouch. Okay, what about scenario three? Because that one actually terrifies me due to how simple it is. Human error.
Yeah, human error is huge. A developer is working on a side project at home on the weekend using a cheap proxy configuration they found on GitHub.
Oh, no.
On Monday, they accidentally copy and paste that configuration file into their company's production environment. They just forget to change the endpoint URL back to the official OpenAI or Anthropic server.
The silent switch. The application deploys, the code compiles fine, but all the company traffic is now quietly routing to a Hydra node.
Exactly. And finally, scenario four. Malicious supply chain attacks. This doesn't even require a mistake on your part.
How does that work?
Developers rely on package managers like NPM for JavaScript or PyPI for Python to download pre-written code libraries.
Right, you need a calendar widget, you download a calendar package.
The sources document instances where bad actors upload highly useful-looking packages to these registries. But hidden deep within the code are a few lines that automatically overwrite your system's environment variables.
Doing what?
Specifically, they change your OpenIB role to point to their proxy relay. You install the calendar widget, and your traffic is instantly hijacked without you ever making a conscious choice.
Which ties perfectly back to the silent model degradation we discussed. You install a package, your API URL gets overwritten, and your legal analysis tool starts relying on a downgraded open weight model.
Yep, and you don't get a warning light.
You just get bad advice and compromised data. So for the developers and technical leaders listening, what does this all mean for you? How do you defend against a threat designed to be invisible?
The sources provide a rigorous four-step defense checklist. First, you must pin and monitor your API endpoints.
Meaning hard code them.
Yeah, hard code the official base URLs in your configuration files and deploy automated network monitoring to audit your pipelines for any unauthorized outward traffic changes.
Got it. What's step two?
Second, implement canary queries in your production environment.
I really love the canary query concept.
Yeah.
It's basically asking the AI a trick question, right? Sending a complex logic puzzle that you know the master chef can solve effortlessly, but that you know the cheap apprentice model will fail at.
Exactly.
If it fails, you know you've been swapped.
You send these known answer prompts periodically and compare the responses against your baseline.
Okay, step three.
Third, you must actively monitor your output quality metrics over time. If user feedback indicates the AI is suddenly getting dumber, but your core application code hasn't changed, you should immediately suspect a silent model swap upstream.
Makes sense. And the final step.
Rigorously audit any third-party API resellers. If they're offering a massive discount, demand verifiable proof of an official contractual partnership with the AI lab.
Because the AI companies aren't just sitting back taking this either, right?
Not at all. The sources note they are fighting a massive digital war. They are deploying advanced behavioral fingerprinting.
Like tracking how the requests come in.
Yeah, analyzing the exact typing speed of requests, the frequency of token generation, and the semantic patterns of the prompts. They use this to identify and block these Hydra networks in real time.
Wow.
They are even sharing threat intelligence across competing cloud providers to map the proxy infrastructure globally.
It sounds like a relentless 247 game of digital whack-a-mole.
That's exactly what it is.
Well, we've covered the mechanics of the digital chop shops, the reality of weaponized distillation, the geopolitical stakes, and the checklist to defend your own code.
It's a lot.
It is. But there is one final detail buried in these sources that I literally cannot stop thinking about. It wasn't the main focus of the technical breakdown, but it is the raw economic reality underpinning this entire shadow economy.
You're talking about the token price index.
The token price index, the economic driver of the entire black market. The index shows that the computational cost of running inference, actually running queries through these massive top-tier AI models, is rising rapidly.
Yeah, the official APIs are just getting more and more expensive as the models get larger.
So I will leave you with this thought to ponder the next time you look at your company's growing API bill. If the legal official price of frontier artificial intelligence continues to skyrocket out of reach for independent developers, and the shadow market keeps refining its Hydra networks to reliably offer 90% discounts,
which they're getting very good at.
Right. Are we going to reach a tipping point? A moment where the dark token economy isn't just a parallel black market for bad actors and espionage, but actually becomes the default way the vast majority of the world accesses AI?
It's a very real possibility.
If the utopia of affordable, democratized AI only exists in the shadows, how long until everyone simply steps out of the light?